Play two more verses before I get this mic fixed. I'm joking. I'm trying to train these guys, and sometimes they get it right and sometimes they backslide. That's been my experience as a pastor with most folks anyway. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We're still in chapter 5. We are going to finish it one of these days. Going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as we do teach through the Bible. Of course, John that received the revelation, the last book that he wrote after he was an old man, also wrote the little books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And they're written to believers, especially here in 1st John, written to the church made up of believers, of course, and so he's talking to us as part of the family of God. We're on the inside. And it's a big help in so many ways. You know, when somebody comes to church and they hear the gospel and they get saved, too many times people draw a conclusion that's over. No, that's just the beginning. We've got a lot of growing to do. We've got a lot of learning to do. And so then you have books in the Bible that are written to help us in that way. And of course, 1 John is one of those books. Now he deals some with some other things, but the main thing is God's people living closer to the Lord, obeying the Lord, knowing God's will and trying to fulfill that will. So it's written to you and I. Now, it's good to get some inside information once in a while and know that the Lord knows how we feel about things and the fight we're in with the flesh, the world, and the devil. So he writes to us. There's enough out there in the world to talk about and complain about. Some things we can do something about. We certainly can pray. The Bible tells us, Paul wrote to Timothy and said that the last days that evil men would come and things would grow worse and worse. And we're in that age. That tells us the only good part about it is it tells us Jesus is coming soon. And that's our victory. That's our blessing. Some of the things you hear about in the news are just unbelievable today. But what's happened in America is we've uncoupled ourselves from God. We've gotten out from under his umbrella of protection. We've done exactly what the Bible warned us not to do. And we're reaping exactly what the Bible said we'd reap for the situation. That still doesn't mean that you and I can't live a good life as a Christian and serve God and obey God. And so the instruction we get from books like 1 John helps us in that area. And I'm going to point out a few little things here. No, I may run out of verses today, but if I do, I'll probably next week go back and recap. And then guess what? The next week I may do the same thing. You pray for me. We'll finally finish up. But all this, the Word of God is just so full of so much. And there's just no way to use it up. Amen? I want us to get into 1 John chapter 5. And we were on the verse about knowing for sure that we're saved. And this verse here, I ask you to memorize, to mark it, to be sure, because this one verse is one of the opening verses to use to talk to somebody about being saved. Because the big revelation here that most natural men and the world does not understand is that you can be saved now and you can know it now. Amen. See, the average person, you say, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? I like Fox News putting on that statement there. Are you going to heaven when you die? I'm real proud of that. But you ask the average guy on the street that, and he'll say, well, I hope so. I'm trying to. Now, he's trying to earn his way. He can't do that. But he don't know that. I had no idea before I was saved that there was even a chance of heaven because I knew me too good. And I thought heaven had to be a place where, and this was my stupid idea, and maybe it's yours. I'll confess it. It was my stupid idea. Now, I'd graduated high school. I probably was about along with the average of the class members, and I'll tell you, most of them didn't know what I'm talking about right now. I thought this. I thought there is a heaven, a hell, a God. I wasn't a big enough fool to not think there was, those things were not real. But my hope of it was not much, because my idea was this. We live a life, we do some good things, and we do some bad things, and we do some good things, and we do some bad things. And whichever stack was the highest when you die is the way you're going to go. That is a lie of hell. That's the devil's trick. You see, even if I could have, which I did not, and you haven't either, if my good stack was this high and my bad stack was way down here, I still couldn't go to heaven. Because the Bible says nothing can enter in that defiles. All sin has to be paid for. So that's why I didn't feel like I had a chance. And a lot of folks feel that way, earning their way. But you can't get there because you can't earn your way. You can't be good enough. You read about the description of heaven in the book of Revelation. Nothing can enter into the city that defiles. And oh, that's what the world don't quite understand. You hear it on the news, TV all the time. I want to talk to you about this just a little bit. This verse says, "These things have I written unto you." Now let's see who it's written to. "Written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Now ask yourself a question. Do you believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus? "That you may know," not hope so, maybe so, guess so, wait to find out, no. "That ye may know that ye have eternal life." Now if you know you have eternal life, you know you're saved, you know heaven's your home, why are you still breathing down here? While you're still eating and drinking and talking and fellowship and working right, this life. But the good thing is in this life now, you can know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I've had folks say, I'd say, "Well, you know, you can know. I know I'm going to hell." "Oh, you're bragging on yourself." "Oh, no, I'm bragging on Jesus. Myself would take me to hell. Jesus will take me to heaven. Because he took my place. He kept the law I broke. He paid for the sin I could not pay for. That's why I can know that I'm going to heaven, because I have his word on it and know what he did for me. And folks, if you're in the building today, in God's house today, this is the first and major truth. Now there's other things we want to know about and other things we'll grow on, but that is the big one. You can't grow, a baby can't grow till after it's born. I mean, it'll grow some in the mother's womb, but it's not going to grow up to be a man till after he's born. You and I are not going to grow in the Christian life until after we're born again. After we're born again is a terminology. It became very well known in America after Jimmy Carter was elected, because he talked about being born again. I'm not going to get off on that. It's real easy. I'm not claiming kin with him. He might be claiming with me, but I'm not claiming with him. All right. You got me off on that. Some of you gave me a look. It messed me up. I'm joking at you. The truth of the matter is it became common knowledge, but I wonder how many Americans really knew what it meant, though they heard it a lot. And many of them would say, "Oh, yeah, well, I'm born again, too." That's the popular thing. That's like Nike shoes or jeans that's all ragged. It's the thing to have. Bunch of, all right, hard not to get off on this stuff. Hard not to. But the truth of the matter is, I'm glad that the world did hear the statement, and maybe many of them got it explained to them. The new birth is very real. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. It's not a choice. You must be born again if you're going to heaven. Say, well, what is that? That's when you trust Jesus Christ to have paid for your sins. Let him be your Savior. Let him be your substitute. Let him be your ticket to heaven, and not what you can deserve or earn or work for. All right, I got off a little bit there, but in this book here, chapter 5, verse 17. Now, in this book, we learn some things. If I were to ask the question, don't raise your hand, certainly many of you know, but isn't it amazing today this book deals a lot with sin. It's dealing with Christians avoiding sin, having the Holy Spirit living within them to help them have the power and strength to overcome the urge to sin, the flesh, and all the trickery of Satan. I need the power of God within me to resist what Satan is trying to trap me with today. And that's true with all of us. Now, with that being said, we say, what is sin? Somebody said, well, it's drinking, cursing, it's murder, it's stealing. And no, what you're talking about is the results of sin. Sin is something deeper than that. I'll get you to read it right here. Go with me to verse 17 here in this same chapter. And I'm jumping ahead, but I'll hopefully come back. What is sin? All unrighteousness is sin. See that in verse 17? And there is a sin unto death. And that's going to open up a can of worms. I'll get back to it in just a minute, hopefully. Now, if you were to go back, we've been in this book a while now. If you were to go back to what, chapter 3 and verse 4, I believe it is here, it says that sin is the transgression of the law. Transgression of the law, what law? Not the speed limit, not cheating on your taxes. What law? Not man's law, God's law. And so sin is the breaking or transgression or disobeying of God's law. All right? If we didn't disobey God's law, we wouldn't be sinning, but we do. God says, I shall not bear false witness. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever told a lie? Of course. You say, I haven't. You just told one. Amen. The truth of the matter is, we understand. We want to talk about the things we, by the way, we can identify sin a lot better on other people than ourselves, right? You ever notice that? Sure. But the truth of the matter is, if we broke God's law, if we disobeyed God's will, he wanted us to do this, we did that, then that is sin. All have sinned. Romans chapter 3 says all. That's not a deep word. It's a simple word, all. We know what all means. And so it's all, everybody. The Bible says in another place, there's none righteous, no, not one. And so that is sin. So it puts us all into the category of being sinners that need to be saved, need to deal with this question of sin. And so the Bible tells us what is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Now it tells us the law, and we normally think of the law as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments sum up the law. The Jews counted 632 laws. I'm sure there's more than that. But they counted that, but summed up in the ten. And of course, in the Ten Commandments, you can find, for instance, the last one says, thou shalt not covet. Do you know that covetousness is behind all the rest of the breaking of the law? Why does a man murder? He covets something. Why does he steal? He covets something. So the coveting in the heart, and by the way, sin always comes from the inside out. Before the hand can steal, the heart's got to say yes. See, before we take God's name in vain, we got to say yes to it. For our tongue, our arm, where our feet take us to the wrong place, we got to okay that thing. And so we understand that the law, when we look at it and the Holy Spirit convicts us, then we see him as a schoolmaster. What was a schoolmaster do? He makes you do right, not wrong. And so the law says, okay, you broke me. Now, so well, I got a guilty conscience. Why? Because you done wrong. It starts with a little kid. Anybody ever notice a little kid? You ask them a question, or did you get into the cookie? No, but it's all over their face, right? So we start lying pretty young. Somebody has well said that when the baby's crying and you finally go to it, pick it up, and it quits crying, it was lying all the time. It wasn't hurting. It wanted you. Amen? We don't grow out of that. So that's our human nature, our fallen nature, our depraved nature. And so we all are sinners. Paul wrote to the church there at Rome and to all of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, it seems to me like it was so easy for me to admit the truth that I was a sinner. And yet as a pastor for 50 years plus, I found folks that got insulted if you told them they were a sinner. Who are you kidding? So I'm a good guy. Well, let me talk to your wife. Yeah? Let me talk to your kids. Let me talk to your neighbor. Let me talk to the fellow worker on the job. You're not as good as you think you are. The truth of the matter is, we're none good. Scripture says none good. And so you'll never get saved, you'll never go to heaven until you admit you need to be saved, until you have sin you cannot pay for. You've got to have help. You can't get there by yourself. You can't be good enough. You say, you don't know how good I've been. I helped the little ladies across the street, and I put the little bird back in the nest when it fell. Oh, that's fine, but it won't get you to heaven. And if you'll tell the truth, there were some times you did have a chance to do good and you didn't. That's called the sin of omission. So we got sins of commission, acts we've done. We've got sin of when we should have done something and we didn't. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty of that. So this old business of somebody, I remember I was at a gas pump one time and I pulled out a church tract and handed to the guy. He was, must have been a long time ago for a hippie pump gas. But anyway, I remember giving him the tract and he saw right on the front there, all have sinned. He said, I hadn't sinned. I looked at him and thought maybe he was joking, but he wasn't joking. He said, I hadn't sinned. I'm a pretty good guy. He said, what is sin? I said, well, what you just said is sin. It's a lie, and you know it is. Truth of the matter is, all have sinned. All have sinned. Now, here's the good news. Go with me, if you will. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll see the good news. And, of course, the good news, or it's great news, is that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. God don't want sinners to go to hell. God's made a way to keep them from going to hell. Isn't that wonderful that we can find that out? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Men break their promises all the time, don't they? But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is repentance? It's turning from your way to God's way. It's actually taking sides with God against yourself. You know what I just said? Yeah. It's saying, Lord, I'm wrong. You're right. I'll turn from my way and trust your way. And that's the wonderful, wonderful truth that we have there. Now, the truth of the matter is that a lot of people are still deceiving themselves into thinking they can be good enough to go to heaven. That's sad. But the good news is God don't want you to go to hell. He's not willing, it says, that any should perish. And so he's made a way for somebody else to take our place. And that somebody else, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel. That's the truth. Now I'm going to enter into a verse that'll bring another question or two to your mind. And I'm sure I won't be able to deal with it thoroughly this morning, but we'll move on down here. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Talking about answered prayer. And here's the verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, get that, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, this is a scary verse. You better understand it. A lot of folks think this is the unpardonable sin verse. It's not. I'm gonna make you come next week to get this full explanation, okay? Because I only got a few minutes on this. But a lot of folks are mixed up on the unpardonable sin. This is not the unpardonable sin. This is talking about a sin unto death. I'll cover it just briefly this way. There's three deadlines with God that'll send you to hell on sin. One of them is the unpardonable sin. The good news is very few have ever been able to commit that. Then there is the sin unto death, and there's more people that has committed that. But the sin that'll send you'd have hell the quickest. And the majority of people go there because of this sin. It's the sin of unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. People don't go to hell because their sin could not be paid for. It's because they tried to pay for it themselves instead of letting Jesus pay for it. So you got three lines that you can cross. And the one that is crossed the most is people who come to a church like this. They'll hear the good news that Jesus loved them and died for them and paid for their sins. And they'll say, I'm gonna accept him later. Yeah. And never do. The scripture says, some will say, well, maybe he was a good man. Maybe he wasn't God. Maybe he couldn't pay for my sins. And so they get trapped in their unbelief. The scripture says, Jesus said himself, he that believeth not is condemned already. Now you can know if you're saved while you're living here. You can also know if you're on your way to hell while you're living here. Check it out right now. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned. In the future? No, already, now, right now. So where you sit right now, you sit condemned if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it and I didn't say it. Jesus did. Amen. The truth of the matter is, that's where the people go to hell by the train loads. Of waiting, putting off, denying to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be very few that commit the unpardonable sin and go to hell because of that. There'll be a few more that maybe will commit this sin unto death and go, but the majority will be the ones that rejected and didn't believe and put off and died without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, keep that in mind, because there's hope for everybody that will hear about Jesus and come to him. You can come to him on the little smallest piece of truth you got about him. Oh, we preachers have heard stories and had experiences with people that just heard one or two lines of the gospel and it got a hold of them and they wound up believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen others come to church and hear the gospel preached from A to Z over and over and over and still reject Christ. It's amazing how you can see that. I read a story one time where some workers, I don't know, power line workers, phone workers, whatever they were, out on the side of the road, and it became lunchtime, and they sat down under a tree and they opened their lunch buckets and began to eat lunch. And an old bulldog, stray dog, came by. Naturally, he was hoping to get a scrap. And he come in among the workers, and one or two of them shoot him away, but finally one guy reached over and kind of patted him on the head and realized there was something in his mouth. And he took it out of his mouth, and it was a chewed up gospel tract. And on that tract, he read the words that he that believeth is not condemned. And the story is that man got saved on a sloppy bulldog's mouth with a chewed up track. He got saved because of that. Now, how little of the Word of God that was printed on a piece of paper, just a little bit of it. How many others have come to church and heard the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and didn't get saved? It's a choice, a personal choice. Now, think on that with me just a little bit. Here, as we move now to say just a word about the sin unto death. It is a few examples in the Bible of a sin unto death. As a pastor, I believe in my heart, seen that happen to a few people. Sin unto death. It is generally when somebody has been warned over and over and over and heard over and over and rejected over and over till God says that's enough. One of the most famous cases that's written was a politician in the early years by the name of Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr was climbing up the political ladder and would have run, probably stood a good chance of becoming president of America. Aaron Burr was not saved. But he was raised in a Christian home to the place he knew what was right. And his mother stayed after him like mothers do. Aaron, you got to get saved. You got to come to the meeting tonight. You got to hear the preacher. And Aaron kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and saying, no, Mama, I'll do it sometime later. And Aaron Burr's own written testimony was this. He said, I finally went to the tent meeting that night. He said, my ambition was to climb the political ladder. I thought maybe I stood a chance to be president. And he said, I was not interested in the gospel, in Jesus. And his own testimony was this. I walked out of the tent that night and I looked up at the stars and I said, God, if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And Aaron Burr said, from that time on, God did leave me alone. And I never felt the urge to be saved again. The words were written something like this, or given, he's given credit. I'm sure others have written it too, but words something like this said, and he was talking about how he couldn't be saved now. Now, he was convinced of that. I'm not sure about what he could have, but he died believing he was going to hell because he'd rejected Jesus. His statement was, there was a time I could and would not. Then there came a time I would and could not. The Holy Spirit never wooed him again, never called him again. He went on not to become president, but wound up killing another politician in a duel and running his whole career and all of that business. And he's an infamous person now in history. I want to tell you, it's dangerous ground when you say no to the Lord over and over and over and over again. Personal experience as a pastor, I have seen that a few times. Not many, but a few times. And sometimes God has said, this is the last time. I clearly remember the time I was in church, unsaved. See the lady with the baby, one of you ushers, want to show where the nursery is there. I came into church and heard the gospel several times and began to have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I remember the night that I finally stepped out and came, I remember not a voice, but a feeling in my soul, in my part, that said this, if this is the last chance, if I'm giving you the last chance. Now, I'm not sure if that was God, but I sure didn't want to take a chance on it. And that's when I stepped out and came to the Lord. I wouldn't take anything for that. The fear was gone. Peace took its place. Yes, all these years, it's still just as real as if it happened last week. And the truth is, the Lord speaks to us that way. The sin unto death is when God says, okay, you've crossed the line, and he may kill somebody. I have a personal story to tell, and there's a family in our church related a generation or two away from this, but I was a youth leader for a number of years before I became a pastor and had some great kids that later on became preachers and missionaries out of my class. One boy was very talented. He was blessed with good looks and health, very talented with playing instruments. And let me tell you, a lot of stuff starts out good. By the way, all these professional singers, a lot of them, guitars and violins and all that business, you know where they learned how? In church. And many of them probably still maybe got saved and still are, but some of them took another road and used it for their own glory and used it for other things. You know that's the truth. If we could put names everywhere. Well, this young man in my department, he was talented. Naturally, his friends said, come play at our party. Next thing you know, the party was at the bar, and it was at the dance house. And it wasn't very long before it was a Saturday night thing, and he couldn't get in bed at 2 a.m. and make Sunday school at 10. So he started missing. His brother was very faithful, younger brother in church, and he was telling me what was going on. So I went to see more than once. This young man said, look, this is dangerous ground. You're saved. You mean a saved person can commit to sin unto death? Very much so. Hear me good on this. Very much so. I believe that young man was saved. I believe I'll see him in heaven. I think he'll have all kind of regrets of what God could have used him if he hadn't let the devil get in. This went on for a while. And on a particular afternoon, you know, the partying Friday night and Saturday night, I went over early that afternoon, and I saw the young man, and he was respectful to me, and we talked, and he said, "Preacher, I know you're right." I said, "I have a strong feeling that it scares me about you, that God will draw the line on you, that you don't keep doing this." But he did. And on the way home at 2 a.m. in the morning, just by himself, probably under the influence of the drink, don't know for sure, but he wrecked his car, and ultimately he died. One of the biggest funerals we ever saw in that church building was his, because other young people. And the preacher got up real plain and said, "If you know the Lord, don't cross the line." It can come to a place, if you're saved, that if you have bad enough testimony down here, God will say, "Come on home before you do more damage." That's a sin unto death. So it can be committed by the saved. It can be committed by the unsaved. We have a case in Hebrews chapter, 11 or 12, where Esau is used as an example. Remember Esau? Esau and Jacob? You remember how that Esau sought repentance later and could not. He crossed a line. He crossed a line. In the days of Noah, and by the way, Jesus used the days of Noah, the sinful days of Noah before the flood, used them as an example of what the world would be doing, just what it is doing now, as the days of Noah. And there's a verse over there, Genesis 6, 7, where God said this. He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." God gave him a long time. Some think 120 years that Noah preached without a convert. But God finally drew a line and said, "That's it. That's it." He is long-suffering. Peter said he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Here's the good news. If you're here in God's house, or you're listening to this on the radio, you haven't crossed a line. You could be heading that way, but God is good to warn and good to tell you that he's got plenty of mercy and grace if you turn and come to him. This morning you'll hear the gospel presented. You'll have a choice, just like I did. I came to church a few times. Began to hear there was a way to be saved. I didn't deserve to be saved. I couldn't save myself, but God's grace made a way for me to be saved. And he sent his son to take my place and die in my stead. That's the best news I ever heard, and I've never heard any news better than that. And the truth is, that news is still available today. God's long suffering is still available. Men can still come and trust Christ. See, I don't know, you don't know what I've done. No, but God does, and Jesus knew it when he died for you on the cross and makes it possible for you to be saved. You don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Nobody deserves it, but Jesus loved us, the scripture says, while we were yet sinners, and died for us. What a wonderful truth. You know, if you remember the picture that's painted in the Bible, three crosses that day outside of Jerusalem. Jesus most likely on the middle cross, one man on each side, three men on the cross. Think about it. Those three men died in a relationship to sin like no other. Nobody else has died in any other kind of relationship than those three men died in relationship to sin. Two thieves and Jesus on the cross. One on either side, we believe. Jesus in the middle. One of those thieves, both of them started out railing on Christ. Both of them started out saying, "If you be the Son of God, come down, save yourself and save us." But finally, one of them said, "Wait a minute. We're getting our just dues. We belong here. We're getting capital punishment because we are crooks. We are murderers. But this man's done nothing amiss. And when that one thief turned and looked to Jesus, his relationship to sin changed. When that one man looked to the Lord and said, "Lord, rememberest thou me when thou comest into thy kingdom?" Jesus answered him back, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." See, here's what it was. Thief had sin on him. The other thief had sin on him. Jesus had no sin. See, that's a relationship no other man's ever had. But Jesus was sinless. When the believing thief changed and believed, his sin went on Christ, and Christ's death paid for it. The one that still railed on Christ and died in his sin is still in hell burning for it. But the one that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ got out from under the sin. And that's the only way you're going to get out from under it, is let Jesus have your sin. And that's what happens when you believe on him. When you take him as your Savior, you're saying, "Lord, I can't pay for it." He's saying, "Give it to me. I pay for it." You go to heaven free. You go on my grace. On my grace. You don't deserve it, but on grace. Nobody goes to heaven except by the grace of God, by trusting Christ. Yeah, we had a debt. The poem of the song says we had a debt we couldn't pay. Couldn't pay. And Jesus, who didn't owe a debt, he took my debt and paid for it, my sin debt. That's a wonderful truth. If you're here today and you're not saved, listen close when the preacher preaches this morning. When he comes near the end of his message, he'll give you the same chance that the dying thief had to trust Christ. Get out one of your sin and let Jesus pay for it. That's what being saved is. And once you're saved, you'll get the peace of God, and then you'll have a power within you that'll help you turn from the sins that we think of all the time and the sins of the flesh. No, the flesh won't be perfect. It'll have to die and go to the grave, but the soul is clean of sin. And it'll go to heaven, into a city that sin will never enter. Only way to get to heaven is to have your sin paid for by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you will. My time's up this morning, so I don't see the report here.